and then waved my hands. "You guys, this is amazing, but please, for the love of my sanity, drink. I was drinking too much to deal with my brother's death, but I'll be fine, really." Gail stepped around me, clapping a hand on my shoulder. "He really is doing better. He's been glowing every time I checked on him the past week." "Were you actually resting for the week, or were you jacking off the whole time?" the water guy asked with a wink. "No comment. How about that?" They all laughed as we sat. I was at the end with Gail, Kara, and the girl playing Peter's sister. At one point during the conversation, Gail leaned in and said, "Her real name is Kelly." "Ah, thank you." Then I remembered I did know. I'd forgotten, but Gail patted my arm. "Don't feel bad. You're at the top. They just have to know your name." I lowered my voice. "That makes me sound like an elitist asshole." Gail shrugged. "It is what it is. I guarantee that in your first role, the lead roles didn't know your name." It didn't matter. I wasn't above these guys. I just had more lines and got a bigger check. We were all together in this project, and I hadn't been pulling my weight. Feeling a good dose of humility, I signaled one of the waitresses down. "At the end of the night, make sure I get the bill." Her eyes darted around. "We were told to bill the director." I looked too. "And she isn't here, so it's on me." She nodded. "Okay." She gestured to my empty glass. "Would you like anything stronger than water?" "Yes." Gail stilled, overhearing. I added, "I'll take a soda." Gail glared. "Jerk." As the waitress left, I grinned. "That's what you get for eavesdropping." "That's my job. I eavesdrop on you in general. Haven't you figured that out?" "Shit. I'd never thought of it that way." "You're right, you do. And I'm good at my job." I saluted her with my empty glass. "Cheers to you for being my own personal busybody." She laughed and then rolled her eyes. "You aren't that bad of a client." I grinned lazily at her. I was a hot mess when she took me on, and she knew it. "Really, thank you." She nodded back, a tear forming in the corner of her eye. She flicked it away and laughed a little too loudly. "I'm taking you up on that margarita." She raised her hand for a waitress, saying to me, "You might be driving yourself back tonight." I could do that, happily, which is what happened. I stayed until karaoke began, and three of the crew members were croaking out Sweet Caroline in their best rendition of Blue Whale. Kara promised to take Gail with them to the hotel, and with that, I took the keys and headed out. I didn't quite remember the way back to the Kellerman estate, so I programmed it into the GPS and kept a cautious eye out for the Mustang herd. The drive there was longer than I expected, but it was uneventful. I was driving past the main house when the front door flew open and someone started waving frantically, trying to get my attention. Pulling to the garage, I got out. I was pocketing the keys when I got a good look at who was coming down the walkway in my direction. "Jenny, is that you?" She had the same long brown hair, smatter of freckles over her smooth complexion, and dark brown eyes. She ran up to me, looking exactly the same as the last time I saw her, only this time she was dressed. "You look good." I patted her on the back before stepping back and adding, "Strong." "Marathon training. I'm hoping to get Finn to run with me." "How long's it been?"
8 months.
Her sparkling brown eyes turned somber, and it clicked then. I was with her that weekend. We had our 3-day affair right before the movie premiere. Right before Kyle. I raked a hand through my hair. The air was suddenly not so light anymore. "I never called you back. At all. I'm sorry, Jen." She lifted a shoulder, but her smile slipped a little.
"I understood. I tried reaching out."
She had. I wanted to tell her it meant something to me. I listened to her message. Her voice had been friendly. There'd been no anger or resentment, but I never called her back because I hadn't cared one bit. I didn't want to lie, so I only gave her a half grin. I blacked out a lot of that time. Which wasn't completely true. I forgot parties. I forgot whomever I was using to make myself forget, because the truth was that I couldn't forget anything about Kyle, about the funeral, about the phone call, about the noise of the crash, about the dial tone. I was raw all over again and needed a drink. Or Morgan. I needed Morgan. I hear congratulations are in order for you. I made sure to put a cheerful ring in my voice. She grasped my arm, squeezing me from excitement.
I met Finn that week, actually. Everything worked out.
No, everything hadn't. Kyle hadn't. Yeah. Fuck, where was Morgan? I had to go. The front door opened and Jen glanced over her shoulder, sighing a little.
He makes me really happy and... She stepped close. He's really nervous about you because you're the big-time actor. I know you've technically met, but he knows about you and me. Be nice, please?
I heard footsteps on the sidewalk drawing close. I nodded but pushed her back a little. Once she was at a distance, the fiancé wouldn't want to deck me about. I grinned. You know me. I'm always nice. Finn drew to us, and I ignored Jen's rolling eyes. My smile widened. Finn, I held out my hand. I know we met the night I arrived, but I never congratulated you on the engagement. He seemed cautious, but shook my hand in a firm grip before nodding.
Yeah, thank you.
His eyes darted between her and me. I wasn't sure if this would be awkward or not. He stepped up, his arm going around her shoulders. Not awkward? Not at all. I gestured around us. Are you two going to tie the knot here? It'd be a beautiful setting. Most people like that shit. Oh, Jen started, her head tilting back an inch. Finn spoke over her. I'd love that. His eyes darted around behind me.
Something about this place. It brings the whole family together.
Family. Yeah. I understood whom he was referring to, but the burning was still in my throat from my own situation. It spread to my chest, and it was only going to get worse. Kyle's ghost was back full force.
Yeah,
I said. I get that. And then we heard a soft voice say,
You're Brody's friend?
We turned, and everything stopped in that moment because this was fucking climactic stuff. Standing behind me, as if materializing out of the darkness, was Morgan.
Chapter 27 Morgan. I walked forward, saying to Brody, I was waiting for you. After seeing the car's headlights shut off, I had expected him to walk down to the cabin. When he hadn't, I went outside, and that was when I heard their voices. I looked at this girl who was so beautiful my chest felt tight for some reason. Morgan! Brody glanced from me to Finn and then back again. Finn's arm fell from the girl's shoulders. The blood drained from his face and he took a faltering step toward me. Morgan. I stepped back. I wasn't there to see Finn. It wasn't that I didn't want to see him. It was just... He used to be family. And that word... Family brought pressure I never knew how to handle, so I stopped trying. It muddied everything up inside of me. I looked at Brody. She's your friend? Brody's eyes were dark, concerned. I looked away, but I still heard his soft voice. She's going to marry your brother. Brother? The girl echoed, her eyes darting back to Finn, who was only watching me. She wasn't there for Brody. I was beyond relieved to hear that. I felt tears coming to my eyes. I touched one in wonder. When was the last time I had cried? I couldn't remember. Morgan. I turned to Finn then. He said my name with such intensity that I couldn't not look at him. And I saw it all on his face. There was happiness. There was contentment. There was nervousness. He missed me. But there was peace amongst all of that. It had me looking at her again. She was the cause. I looked at her fully, dipping my head. You're good for Finn. God, Morgan. Finn's voice dipped low. A stark and desperate look came to his eyes. Can I? He lifted his arms. Can I hug you? It was the same question Matthew asked. But it felt different from Finn. Or maybe I was the one different. I held back, surprised myself when I realized the old fear wasn't there. It hadn't knocked on the door like before when the other brother asked. It slammed me then. This time, I felt it open, a small crack. I glanced to Brody, who nodded his encouragement and whispered, "Okay." I braced myself, but he moved forward and his arms came around me so gently and slowly that my lungs expanded from relief. I didn't feel closed in or suffocated. He held me, an inch of space between us, and I hugged him back, tentatively. I placed my palms against the back of his shoulders, which had him sucking in a sharp breath. "Morgan." A drop of wetness fell on my shoulder. I leaned back to find that he was crying. I frowned. "I'm sorry." He stepped back, sliding his hands into his pockets. His eyes were raking all of me, studying every inch of my face, and a hoarse laugh filtered past his lips. "No. God, no." He moved back in to hug me, going slow again. I nodded this time and he closed the distance, holding me in his arms. His hand cupped the back of my head and he rested his forehead to mine. "I've missed you." He held me another moment before stepping back. He didn't go far, just a couple steps back. His fiancée went to his side. She slipped her hand into his and he used his other to wipe over his face. "Man, Morgan, wow. I can't." He trailed off again, just looking me over. "You look amazing." His fiancée, Brody's friend, gave him a quizzical look. He squeezed his fiancée's hand. "I'll tell you later." He asked me, his thumb pointing back to the house. "Matt's at a meeting tonight, but Abby's going to faint when I tell her you're out here. Can I get her? She and Jen are friends. We were having a few drinks to celebrate her coming tonight." I looked past him. I could go into that house. There was nothing actually stopping me. Abby would be there. Finn. Then a surge of need rose inside me. I wanted to see my sister. I wanted to laugh with her and my brother again. I wanted to feel what home used to be like. I wanted to remember. Before caution or anything else stopped me, I brushed past everyone, climbed the porch steps two at a time, and strode inside. This wasn't like before when they were asleep. There had been an eeriness in the air then. I paused, taking it in. I smelled the mix of their wine in the air and the aroma of whatever they were eating. I knew they had put fruit on the table before I stepped in. There were older smells, but I liked the fresh ones better. The home felt alive again. Then the back patio door opened. Abby was coming back inside holding her wine glass. She was saying,
"Where'd you guys go? I thought we were moving to the patio."
Her voice faded and her wine glass slipped from her hands.
"Morgan?"
She started forward, but I yelled,
"No, don't move."
The wine was spreading everywhere and pooling around shards of glass she was about to step in.
"What?"
She stopped short and glanced down.
"Oh."
Finn strode forward. He had hiking shoes on, and ignoring the glass, he swept his sister up and moved her closer to me. He signaled to Jen.
"Could you grab some paper towels? I'll get a dustpan and mop."
They went to work cleaning the spill at the same time Abby threw herself at me. She wrapped her arms around me without one ounce of hesitancy Finn showed outside.
"Oh my gosh. Morgan."
She began sobbing.
"Morgan, I've been hoping."
She tightened her hold as I did with Finn. I patted her on the back. Her body shook as she let me go. Her face was drained of color. She continued to stare at me, shaking her head to herself.
"I can't believe it. I just can't."
She reached out and touched a strand of my hair.
"You're so tan. Your hair is so blonde."
She laughed to herself, her hand resting on the side of her own face. She continued to look me over.
"You look so beautiful, Morgan."
Her voice dropped to a whisper as she added,
"Like Karen."
Finn came up next to Abby, his arm going around her shoulders. She fell into his side and neither reacted at how natural that movement was for them. My throat started to burn. My mother would come up behind me, run a hand over my head, tousling my hair, and I'd lean into her, just how Abby rested against Finn.
Matt's going to pop a vein when he finds out you were in the house and talking to us.
Abby's eyes lit up. Do you want a glass of wine? Wait, she frowned. Do you drink? I glanced to Brody, who had come up beside me. He met my gaze, both of us remembering the time I drank with him. I was torn. His eyes softened as if he were trying to tell me this was okay to do. He shifted on his feet, the back of his hand grazing against mine. It was the slightest touch, but Finn saw it. He drawled.
So that's actually happening.
I tensed. Brody didn't. No, that wasn't right. I felt the air around him. He was just as tense as I was, but he didn't look it. He threw a lazy grin back at my brother.
What's happening?
Abby's mouth formed a small O. Finn gestured between Brody and me with his free hand.
The two of you. Matt said it was, but it's different seeing it.
What?
Finn's fiance asked, joining the conversation after putting away the mop and throwing the paper towels into the garbage. Frowning, she looked at us, noticing how close we were. Oh, she murmured.
Matthew did?
Brody clipped out, his jaw clenched.
Really?
Finn frowned.
Said you guys got cozy during your week off.
Brody's hand left mine as he shifted, almost shielding me.
And how would he have known that?
Finn's shoulders abruptly fell back down. Shit. I moved around Brody. The old uneasiness I felt earlier came back, and this was it. It was back and building, burrowing deep into me. Finn, he looked at me. How did Matthew know about us? He jerked up an awkward shoulder.
I don't know, he
flung a hand, gesturing to Brody.
Didn't you tell him?
Not about this past week.
Anger was literally rippling from Brody, crashing into and melding with the bad feeling inside me. I was sinking, further and further down. Abby said quickly,
What does it matter? Matthew knows everything. You're here. You can have a glass of wine with us, right, Morgan?
A nervous laugh rang from her before she closed her mouth, chewing down on her bottom lip.
Come on, let's sit and talk.
Her voice rose up again with a desperate ring.
Or I'll walk back with you to the fence. I want to know how you are. I want to know everything.
I looked at my sister. I remembered playing with her, having her do my hair, wanting to learn about makeup from her. I remembered how she would let me play dress up with her clothes, or take me to the mall to shop for hours. I was shaking on the inside, but I nodded to her. A walk would be fine.
Yeah?
She perked up and turned to Finn. He was staring at her, and the two seemed to share a conversation with no words. Finally, he gave her a half grin.
Go. Talk to our baby sis. Then come back and report everything.
He said to me.
I want to know, too.
I turned so that my back was to the rest and looked up at Brody. The anger was still there. I saw it flaming, but like Finn and Abby, he nodded to me. I was going to Shiloh. He knew what I was going to do, and he wasn't fearful of never seeing me again like my siblings were. I reached out, my hand grazing over his stomach. He caught it, giving it a small squeeze before letting go as I started for the door.
Morgan?
Finn called out. I looked back.
Will you?
I already knew the answer. Yes. I would see him again. I wouldn't disappear.
Chapter 28. Brody. I gave the girls a few minutes to walk from the house. I didn't want them to come running back, but as soon as I was sure they were out of hearing distance, or within reason for Morgan's hearing, I walked toward her brother. Jen saw the look on my face, and I heard her say, "Oh boy." Finn was turned to me, watching as I closed the distance between us. He looked around, but my hand was at his throat before he could take a step toward an exit. His eyes threatened to bulge out. My hand squeezed, but I ignored how he tried to grab a hold of my arms. I walked him back against the wall and lifted him in the air. I didn't give two shits if this got me fired. He could explain why I put my hands on him. I had a strong feeling my reason outweighed his. When he began making choking sounds, I relaxed my hold, just slightly. He could breathe, but just barely. He could talk if he tried. Leaning forward so he damn knew to take me seriously, I said, "You're going to tell me how your brother knew about Morgan, and if you don't..." I squeezed my hand again, leaning even closer. "I will hurt you, and trust me when I say that I know how. I got my ass beat by my old man every day I was in his house. I picked up some nasty tricks." "Brody," Jen started to reach for my arm. "Don't fucking touch me, Jen. This isn't your fight right now." "He's my fiancé." She began to reach for me again. I twisted to her, letting her see how deadly serious I was. When her eyes met mine, reading my intent, she gulped. Finn started fighting again, his arms and legs trying to hit me. I relaxed my hold again and shifted my stance so his fists only grazed my arm. His legs couldn't reach me. "Are you going to cooperate?" I waited. His eyes were wild, the need for violence surging to the surface. He wouldn't, but I relaxed my hold and stepped back. He'd have to try, but if he did, I would teach him, again. He rushed me, but I ducked and stepped to the side. As he ran past me, he swung an arm wide to try to hit me. I moved back in, wrapped an arm around his arm, and shoved him against the wall. He went face forward, and instead of holding his throat captive, I had his arm. He was paralyzed. The only thing he could move was his mouth, and he grated out, "I'm going to sue your ass. You're off this movie. My father will..." I applied pressure on his arm, and he bit out a primal scream as the bone popped out of joint. "Oh my God, Brody!" Jen was behind me again, beginning to cry. "Please stop, please!" "You won't sue me." My voice was calm. "You won't fire me. If I go, so does Morgan." Panic flashed in his eyes. "And you know it. So..." I leaned in again and lowered my voice, almost so I was soothing him. "Are you going to talk this time? I can do this all night long if I have to, but trust me when I say, I'll learn how your brother found out about us. I'll do it with or without you. You and I can be enemies, or I can just be your brother's enemy." I held his arm until I saw some of his panic fading. He was starting to relax. I stepped back. Another chance. He pushed off the wall and swung wide. I hadn't been expecting that, and his fist caught me on the cheek, but I scrambled. I wasn't seeing stars, but it was a good solid hit. Acting on years of instinct, I went to the floor in a roll, getting right back to my feet when I was out of his reach. He was storming toward me, a vein sticking out from his neck. Jen started to jump between us again. Both of us barked out, "Don't!" She went back to the sidelines. I braced myself, saw his hand clench into a fist. I had my arms up, blocking his punch, but he wasn't stupid. I saw him feign, and his other hand came up in an uppercut. I moved my arms down instead, hitting his leg and using the momentum to bounce back and smack him in the face. It disoriented him. It was a hard slap, but it gave me enough time to twist around and get him into a headlock. I just had to squeeze. My legs were tight. He could only beat at my forearm, but my muscles were tight. His hands weren't doing much damage, and I looked around, making sure he couldn't grab a knife or utensil to impale me with. We were a little too close to a fork. I pulled him with me, closer to the front door, and applied pressure again. I wouldn't kill him, but he'd go unconscious. "Now, we can go this way. You can fall asleep and I'll search this house without your permission. I'll start with your brother's office where I'm certain there's other items in there you won't want me to find." "There isn't. There's always something you don't want to be found. I don't want that. I want to know how your brother knew about Morgan. That's all." I already knew. We didn't walk around the estate, only the land. Morgan was the one to slip in and out of my cabin. Abby could have said she overheard us, but that was a big fucking leap to go from one conversation to us being together. There were only two ways. Either he had the cabin bugged, or he had cameras on it. My contract said privacy, so both were cause for a lawsuit. I wanted Finn to admit it. I wanted one other person to say it, and I knew Jen would back it up. I glanced at her, gauging whether she would lie for her fiancé if he asked. I wasn't sure. Before tonight, I would have said no, but the terror on her face was genuine. She got a glimpse into the old Brody that I didn't like to visit. Our odd friendship was over. I saw that. I squeezed tighter around his neck. I mean it, Finn. This isn't a pissing match between your brother and me. I'm protecting Morgan. If he has something on me from this week, he might have something on her. We were together, together. Fine, ripped from him. He was still struggling. Stop fighting. He went slack and I let him go. He fell to the floor and I bounced back on my heels, ready for him to come at me again. He didn't. He only looked up at me from the floor, his chest heaving as he rubbed the red mark on his neck. He said he installed videos to watch the outside of your cabin, that's all. I was right. I knew I would be. I want to see the footage. He started to shake his head. I said again, I'll find it without you if that's what you want. I took a step toward him, dropping my voice. But I will find that footage. He stared at me, glaring. Then he stopped abruptly, the fight finally leaving him. Fine. I know the password to his computer. I motioned to him. After you. He scowled at me, rubbing his neck as he led the way. Kellerman had his desk set up on one end of the room, and behind it, large windows showcased the mountains. Two leather chairs were in front of his desk, and there was a couch on the other side of the room. Bookshelves stretched the entire length of the back wall. Finn went to the computer and turned over the plaque on the desk, revealing the password that was taped underneath. Finn shrugged. Matt has all the same habits. He just doesn't know that we know him. He typed in the password. I went to stand behind him, watching as he clicked on an icon. Security footage came up with cameras showing all over the estate. Finn clicked through a few until he got to the ones of my cabin. The front door. I said, next. The back door. Another. Next. He hesitated before clicking on a camera feed that was pointing right at the second floor patio. I knew what that meant. I forced myself to wait. I couldn't go nuts, not yet. Are those the only three angles? Finn looked back at me. Yeah. I gestured to the history folder. Pull that up. Look, he straightened away from the computer, motioning toward it. It's just the doors and your patio. He didn't break any privacy codes or anything. We're allowed to put cameras on our land. I sat in the seat and clicked on the history folder. As it pulled up all the old footage he saved, I asked, this house is in Morgan's name, right? I was clicking through them. There was nothing incriminating. When I didn't hear him respond, I looked back up. His eyes were wide and alarmed. I pushed from the computer again. Finn, am I right? Yes, it's Morgan's land. She inherited it from Karen. I had already known that, but like the cameras, I just needed one to confirm it. Jen moved forward. What does that mean? I shot her a look before going back to the saved video footage. It means none of these cameras had Morgan's permission to be put up. I shared Finn in the same look. And my contract says all privacy. These cameras violate that stipulation. Would your brother bug my cabin? No! My God, Matt isn't some eavesdropping creep. As he spoke, I clicked on the last footage saved. Every cell in my body froze. Finn's gaze jumped to it. Oh, fuck. The image was clear even before I played it. Morgan was straddling me. We were on that back patio, and I knew exactly what we would be doing when I hit play. As the screen came to life, Morgan was straddling me, her mouth over mine. I let it play for just a second, but it was a second too long. Rage was rising in me. My arms began shaking as I grabbed a USB and copied everything to it. What are you doing? I clipped out, evidence. I couldn't lose it, not yet, but that time was coming so close. It whispered to me, seductive and alluring. I grew up in violence. It had always been hard, abrasive, bitter. and I'd had my fair share of scrapes when I was mourning for Kyle. I always hated it, hated myself afterward, but this was different. This need for violence was almost sensual, and once everything was copied, I let myself go. I stopped thinking. I stopped feeling. My mind went on autopilot as I destroyed the video, destroyed all of the footage. He violated me. He violated his sister, but I still couldn't vandalize an entire computer. And then I thought of where that footage ended. He had watched us kiss. My stomach churned, not knowing what else he had watched. If he let it play, if he watched her, I'd seen that look in his eye. He wanted to control her, have her back under his thumb. My dad had the same need. Kyle and I had to wear the clothes he picked. We could eat when he said so. We even showered when he declared it was our time. He controlled everything. It had been abusive, and I thought that's what I saw in Matthew's eyes, but had there been something else? Something sicker? I heard a click in my head as somewhere deep down, my mind turned off. I turned and ripped the hard drive out of the computer and strode into the bathroom. Finn and Jen followed me and I gritted out, I need a lighter. I wanted everything destroyed. I didn't know if I was going above and beyond. I didn't care. I wanted every last scrap charred and burned. Finn looked at Jen. She hesitated. I said, I know you smoke, Jen. She sighed and reached into her pocket. She tossed it to me and I flicked it on, running it beneath where the magnetism was, melting it. After letting it burn for a few minutes, I tossed it into the toilet. It didn't go out, not right away, but once it did, some of the rage lessened. I felt more in control, slightly. I looked at the two. It seemed neither were breathing. You can tell him my lawyers will be waiting for his call. I left the house, walking right past where Morgan and Abby were sitting, not far from the barn.
Brody?
Morgan stood. She could tell something was wrong. I just waved, not looking over. Keep talking. I'll be in the cabin.
What's wrong?
Christ. I finally looked at her. Could I tell her? He was watching her. Could I destroy whatever she felt toward him? I looked at Abby. She'd be told anyway. It would get out. I shook my head. I don't want to tell you this, Morgan. I expected to see her pull away, to become wary. She did neither. Her mouth flattened into a strong line and she stepped toward me with purpose. Even her voice was firm.
Tell me.
Abby jumped to her feet, biting her lip again.
Is it Finn? Did you hurt him?
No. Well, yes. I couldn't say the words. I didn't want to say the words. Matthew was a piece of shit, but this would send Morgan over the edge. She'd go back to the horses, and even I didn't know if I'd see her again. We found video footage on Matt's hard drive, Finn said from behind me. He was holding tight to Jen's hand. Abby gasped. He added, Brody destroyed it. There could be other copies besides the one in my pocket. My stomach rolled over on itself. If there were, I couldn't go there. My hands were already forming into fists. Morgan didn't react. Her eyes were just questioning, looking back to me. I didn't look away as I stepped toward her. Morgan, Finn spoke over me. He had a video of them together. He let his sister comprehend it. I couldn't look away from Morgan. She didn't once look away from me as I scraped the words from my throat, saying, He watched us. Chapter 29. Brody. Morgan's face gave nothing away, but she snapped her head toward her siblings.
You won't tell him.
What? She clipped her head from side to side.
I mean it. You lie for Brody. Matt isn't to know it was him.
His hard drive is destroyed. He had business on there. He's going to flip.
I don't care. Tell him I did it.
What? Abby and Finn shared a look. Abby asked again.
What? I did it. I found out what was on there, and I was the one who destroyed the computer.
Morgan swallowed tightly, lifting her head higher. God, my heart pounded a little harder. She took my breath away.
He won't say a goddamn word then.
Morgan turned, her eyes slightly wild as if she didn't believe what she was saying. She walked toward me, but she didn't stop. She took my hand and led me to my cabin. I pulled her to a stop before turning to Finn. You get those cameras taken down. He nodded, running a tired hand over his face. First thing tomorrow. Tonight. Morgan had turned back. I mean it. Her face was in a set mask. She was dead serious, and she let everyone see it before she tugged on my hand again. As we went for the cabin, I heard Jen murmur, Your sister is a badass, and bossy. No one commented. I went straight to the liquor cabinet, but then remembered Gail cleaned everything out. Fuck! Bracing my hands on the counter, I leaned down. I was holding on to that thing like I wished it were Matthew's throat. I wanted to strangle him. I wanted to beat the shit out of him, and once he healed, I wanted to do it all over again, and again, and again. Morgan took a step near me, but she didn't say anything. A savage growl built in my throat. I want to fucking beat the shit out of your brother. I expected her to cower or flinch, but she only met my gaze full on and let out a soft sigh. That hard drive had his business on it. I'm sure there was valuable stuff on there. He'll be furious. I straightened, getting a dose of humility. I won't let you take the blame for that. I did it. No. She raised her voice, her eyes urgent. You can't say anything. He can never know it was you. He'll hurt you if he does. He won't care about the reason you did it. Morgan. The house was hers. He put those cameras up without her permission. She had to know. I destroyed his private property, but in the grand scheme of things, Matthew did so much worse. I don't want to hear it. It clicked with me then. She wasn't reacting because she wasn't reacting. She was on lockdown. I could feel the distance between us, which only got wider with each flick of her eyes toward the window. She wanted to bolt. She wanted to go numb to this world again. You're going to go. I wasn't asking because it was inevitable. I wouldn't be able to keep her there. She needed to go. She jerked her head in a stiff nod. I have to. I can't. She gulped again. I can't breathe here right now. She looked at me, searching for understanding, maybe even a sliver of permission. I nodded, giving her both, giving her whatever she needed. Go. She started, not waiting another second. Just, she was already at the patio door, but she looked back. I felt for her. There was a look of agony on her face as she waited. Just come back, okay? She nodded again, but then she was across the room in a heartbeat. She caught my face between her palms and her lips were on mine in the next second. She pressed up on her tiptoes, her mouth commanding and loving, harsh and soft all at the same time. I caught her face in my hands too and kissed her back. She was saying goodbye, but she was also telling me she was coming back. I tasted her, slipping my tongue inside, and she moaned, her hands moving to grasp at my shirt. I tipped her head back, my lips becoming softer against hers, coaxing. She didn't want to go. I could feel the struggle in her, and the longer I kissed her, the more I knew I could get her to stay. I poured everything I had into that kiss. She moaned. It was slight, but I heard it, and then her entire body melted against mine. I swept her up, bending and grabbing behind her legs. I never pulled away. I never stopped kissing her as I carried her into the bedroom. The light stayed off. Nothing was touched, so the window shade was slightly pulled back, letting the moonlight cast a reflection over the bed. As I set her on the bed, I settled beside her, kissing her still. I think I would have kissed her for the rest of our lives if I had to at that moment. My desperation to keep her with me, to love her, taste her, explore her, worship her was all-consuming. I needed to keep reminding her that she was human. She wanted to pull away, go hide again, maybe feel the adrenaline rush of being on Shiloh or running with the herd. I would give her that rush. I began to explore her body, my hand stroking her stomach and then slipping past her jeans. I didn't wait. As my tongue was brushing against hers, my fingers went under her underwear and slipped inside her. I thrust them deep, and she surged in my arms. She came alive, gasping, and her head fell back to the pillow. I rose over her, finding her mouth again. I wouldn't leave it for long, no way. It was my lifeline to her. I worked her to a climax, loving how she gasped for me, how her hips began to move with my fingers. Shifting my weight so I was partially resting over her, I used my other hand to touch her stomach. I pushed her shirt up, bending to kiss her there. Then back to her mouth, another long kiss. My hand caressed her, grazing over her ribs, encircling her breasts. I dropped to kiss her other breast. Then, as my thumb rubbed the moisture from my mouth away, I went back to kissing her. All the while, I kept sliding my fingers in and out. I could feel her body lifting off the bed with each stroke. She began to shudder, and I paused. I kissed her throat, tasting where she exposed her neck for me, how she was moving to lead me where she wanted me to taste her. I moved around her throat before dropping my lips back to her breast. My tongue laved over her, and she moaned again, grabbing the back of my head. Her hips were moving still, lifting and rotating with my fingers. She was going to come soon. I felt her tighten around me, the spasms rolling over her, but I kept moving my fingers. She gasped, arching up completely. My mouth was on her breast, but then she choked out a gasp and scrambled toward me. She grabbed my shirt, pulling it up and then off. My dick was so hard that if I let go of the top button, he would bust the zipper open. I knew I shouldn't have, but as she climaxed in my arms, I pulled my fingers out and then rested over her. We were groin to groin, and I could feel her entrance. I wanted in her. God. Fuck. I didn't know if I could hold out. I wanted to savor this, draw it out, and make her addicted to me. Holding her thigh flat against the mattress, I ground into her. Her legs twitched. She tried to tighten them against me, but I didn't let her. She looked at me, biting back a grin. I gave her a wolfish grin in return, my eyes eating up every inch of her exposed skin. Perfection. And every inch of her was mine. I let out a growl again and bent, my teeth lightly nipping her breast. She cried out, but when I thought she would catch my face and lift my mouth to hers again, she pushed my hand aside and reached for my pants. She had the zipper down in a flash, then I was out and she wrapped a hand around me. We rolled and she rose above me. Still holding me, her eyes holding mine at the same time, she impaled me, sheathing herself down on me, and then we both went still at the contact. I let out a shallow breath, my eyes darting to hers. She was grinning, and she bit her lip again. I groaned, catching her lips with mine. Laughing softly, the sound caressing my mouth, she began to move for me. Her hips rolled back and forth, and then I took over. I couldn't hold back. I pulled her back underneath me. In, out. I began moving faster as she deepened the kiss, her tongue finding mine. I couldn't get close enough to her. I wrapped my arm around her back, crushing her to me. I thrust in, going deep. I pushed all the way until I felt her wall before pulling back out, only to go in again. I paused there, grinding into her, and she began to whimper. Her mouth fell open, a throaty moan leaving her. This wasn't enough. I needed to be deeper inside her. "Do you trust me?" I panted as I ground into her again. Her lust-filled eyes held mine. "Yes." I shifted, pulling her legs from around my waist and lifting them so they rested on my shoulders. Then I slid back in, and this time I could go deeper than I ever had been. Her mouth fell open, a silent cry ripping free as her back arched and her eyes darkened further with hunger and pleasure.
"Harder. I want you to fuck me."
Holy shit. My dick twitched in need.
"You sure?"
"Yes." She grabbed my hand and pulled me down so I was staring right into her face. I braced myself with my other hand, but I had her hand pinned to the bed on the other side, her knees bent, resting over my arms.
"God damn it, Brody."
I groaned. I was addicted to her. I knew this wasn't just fucking. I wasn't just reminding her that she was human. I was trying to brand her. I was trying to make her feel she was mine so deep inside that she'd never leave again. My hand flexed around hers, digging into the sheets, and then I did as she asked. I fucked her, rough and hard, unrelenting. My body stretched out and I kept thrusting into her. I felt her come again, her back arching off the bed as she gasped, letting herself shatter, but I didn't stop. I needed my release. My body was demanding it, burning for it. I still held off. I kept sliding in and out, going deeper and deeper until I couldn't stop my release from ripping through me. It was like a rope, stretched as tight as it could go, and then it snapped, recoiling with passion. My body was convulsing, pulsating, trembling. So was hers. As I slipped out of her, I searched for her mouth. It was becoming a drug to me. I nuzzled her jaw, and she turned, her lips finding mine. It was a soft and sweet kiss, drawn out, and I was panting afterward. So was she, her chest lifting up and down as she caught her breath. I held on to her, wrapping her tight in my arms, and I buried my head into the crook of her neck and shoulder. She smelled of the wild, fresh air and the earth, with a slight hint of vanilla, and she was mine. I dropped another soft kiss to her shoulder. We didn't talk the rest of the night, and I rose above her once more. But she never left. She never left.
Chapter 30. Morgan. I was in the barn a week later. I wanted to check on the horses because they weren't getting brushed down or washed at the end of their long days. The staff wasn't taking appropriate care of them, so I got into the habit of sneaking in at night and doing it myself. 4 days ago, Brody woke alone and came looking for me. And since then, he had helped me when they weren't shooting late into the night. So as I was finishing putting butter into her stall, I didn't react when I heard the barn door rolling open. The thought that it was Brody settled me. But then I froze. An alarm went off. He was working tonight, and said he wouldn't be back till 4 in the morning. Plus, he never used the big door. He jumped the fence and came in through the back.
The horse handler thanked me for brushing down the horses or having someone do it. I didn't know what she was talking about, and then it hit me yesterday.
My frozen state didn't thaw. Matthew had been gone on a business trip, and while I knew Finn told him what happened, he hadn't been back since. Seeing him a few feet away, he was back now. His arm rested on the barn door like he would block me if I tried to run out that way. Seeing I didn't bolt, he nodded to himself, his hand dropping from the doorway and sliding into his pocket. He was dressed like he'd come straight from a meeting, but his collar was pulled out, and the top few buttons of his shirt were undone. His hair wasn't slicked back like it normally was. It was messy. He looked tired. There were bags under his eyes.
You're almost becoming normal again. A regular tenant of the Kellerman estate.
Was that true? Since the night Brody destroyed his hard drive, I hadn't been able to pull myself from his arms. I slept in his bed every night, left to go see the herd when he was working, and timed it so I was always back around the same time he was. It gave me a thrill every time I walked in to find him already waiting for me, knowing I'd be in his arms within moments. He always showered before coming to bed, and I showered with him those times. I no longer smelled like one of the herd, and the stallion hadn't liked it. He had taken to rearing back when I approached, but Shiloh never left my side. Shoal didn't either. After a while, he accepted my new scent, but I knew he was unsettled by it. What do you want, Matthew? His head lifted, resignation weighing on his shoulders. He swallowed once and then murmured.
I'm told you destroyed my computer.
I lifted my head. Not your computer. Your hard drive.
And what gave you the impression you could touch my computer, much less destroy it?
His eyes were narrowed to slits, his anger just underneath his surface. It struck me then how much we had both changed. A month ago, Matthew would have just been happy to be talking to me. That was gone. You violated my privacy, and the evidence was on that computer. You're goddamn right I destroyed it. I narrowed my eyes to slits. I'd do it again, too. His head bobbed back a centimeter. I had surprised him.
You saw?
sensing my unease. Butter popped her head back over the stall door and began nuzzling my cheek. She was not only trying to soothe me, but also seeing if I had an extra treat for her. I reached into my pocket and pulled out a small apple. I palmed it as she leaned forward, nibbling gently. I know what was on that hard drive. I saw where you paused it. I was lying, but I didn't care. I wished I had been the one to destroy it. I would have had the entire herd run over it. He jerked back, his eyes rounding.
You are here because I allow you to be here. You continue to be here because I allow it.
I turned back to Butter, sliding my hand up her neck, my fingers running through her mane. I won't be spied on, by you or anyone else. I faced him again in time to see him flinch.
We were so happy to have you and Karen in our lives, he said in an almost hoarse voice, as if that could excuse what he'd done.
I turned back to Butter, but he kept talking.
We lost our own mom and our dad.
He exhaled sharply.
You know how it is.
I heard the snap of the straw under his feet as he took a step closer. Only one. I jerked, but I was remembering. Peter Kellerman scared me, he always had.
She softened him somehow. And for a moment I thought we could have a family. We all did. Us, Karen, and you. You were our littlest sister and we all adored you.
He was right. She made Peter Kellerman happy, but she made all of us happy. Then she was gone, and I was back there that day. I heard the pounding on the door. I was running for the door until that sound, and then she screamed my name. And like Ben, ice ran through my veins. It was taking me away, pulling me back to memories I didn't want to remember. His voice drifted to me again, softer.
I can't imagine what you must feel.
He kept talking, but a buzzing sound drowned him out. It was growing louder and louder.
Morgan,
she whispered, kneeling before me. I saw the terror in her eyes, and that pounding kept going. I gasped silently, but Matthew didn't notice. I slammed back to the present day, but feeling faint, I grabbed onto Butter's stall. I was going to fall. Pressure pushed down on my chest. I felt my lungs shrinking in size, and I gasped silently, struggling to draw air in. I couldn't. I was choking. I was going to die. I could hear his voice, a blast of bass sounding from the distance, but it was as if there were thick walls separating us and his words couldn't penetrate them. Then, while I clutched onto Butter's stall, the pressure started to dissipate. I felt my lungs growing back to their normal size, and suddenly, I could breathe like normal again. My mouth opened wide, and I gasped in large mouthfuls of oxygen. I grew lightheaded and dizzy from the abrupt change. My arm was shaking hard enough that Butter looked to see what was rattling her door. She began sniffing at my hand. My other had fallen, dropping the last little bit of apple onto the ground. She was searching for more. I couldn't move. My arm was too unsteady, I would fall completely.
That had always been my hope growing up, and you've grown into a beautiful woman. You're smart, you're strong. I know how much strength you have.
My head felt as if it weighed 5 tons as I lifted it enough to look at my stepbrother. He'd been watching me, talking, giving me his pitch, and he hadn't noticed a thing. Relief knocked my knees together, almost sweeping me down from the movement. I called for Shiloh, I had to. I let out a high-pitched whistle. Then another.
Can do so many things. You don't have to waste your heart on this man. He'll break your heart, I know this. I know guys like him. You might not believe me now, but I want the best for you.
What? I opened my eyes wider, trying to see Matthew more clearly, but my vision was swimming. He was going in and out of focus. He just kept talking. He just kept saying things, not seeing that I was struggling. Was that a good thing? When we were kids, he was always the one to protect me. He would have seen that I was struggling, that I couldn't breathe, and he would have helped me. He wasn't that Matthew anymore. He changed over the years. I sensed the shift the night he had me sign the papers to approve this movie.
He was desperate, hungry and motivated and angry. So, so angry. It was there when they began the movie, too. Except his desperation switched. He had gotten what he wanted. He wanted the movie. He was going to use it for something. I didn't know what. Fame? Power? Money? I had no idea. I didn't care. But the movie was underway, and I stayed away. But Brody brought me in, made me feel safe and protected. Yet there I was in the barn, experiencing an attack worse than any I'd had since I was 10 years old. And Brody wasn't around, and Matthew didn't care. A whinny. A lifeline. I whipped around almost drunkenly, and my shoulder slammed into the other side of Butter's stall door. She was nibbling at my shoulder, only her lips. I managed to lift one of my hands to pat her on the nose, to reassure her I was fine and that I wasn't hurt. She nudged me again before shifting and stomping and moving her body in the stall.
What was that?
Finally. Matthew stopped talking. He strode toward me. I tensed, flattening myself against Butter's door completely. Matthew went right to the back door, bypassing me and throwing it open. He paused on the threshold, squinting out into the darkness. A second whinny, closer this time. It was Shiloh. She never came this close, but I knew without having to see her that she had breached the fence. She was coming up the field. She was coming to me. God. Matthew was in front of her. If he was angry, she might react. I couldn't let that happen. She couldn't hurt him. I shuddered, not wanting to think what he would do in retaliation. Matthew, I croaked. He turned to me and finally saw I was struggling for breath.
Oh my God.
He rushed to me, but I waved him away as Shiloh came running through the open back door. Her eyes were wild and panicked as she tossed her head back and forth searching. When she found me, she bucked up onto her hind legs, preparing to kick at Matthew. She thought he was hurting me. No! I shoved him as far away from me as I could. He fell to the ground, frozen with his eyes fixed on Shiloh. Roll! I screamed, hoping to get him moving. He did, rolling right into an open stall. Her hooves just missed him as they landed hard on the wooded floor. No, Shiloh! The screams had taken everything out of me. I waved my arms to get her attention. Her one eye turned to me, seeing me. She didn't know what was going on, she just wanted to help. So I reached up, grabbed her hair and a section of her coat and tried to heft myself onto her. I couldn't get up in one jump, so I tried again, scrambling until I was lying safely on her back. I didn't have it in me to sit upright, so I nudged her back. She resisted. She wanted to go after Matthew. No, Shiloh, home! Her head swung back to me. Home! Her nostrils flared before she wheeled around and took off at a gallop. I grabbed her mane and tried to keep from falling.
Chapter 31. Brody. Kara was pressed between my legs. I had her backed up against a tree, my mouth hovering over her exposed neck, which was where it had been for the last hour. We kept fucking up the shot. Either the wind was in the wrong direction, Kara was hiccuping, my smoldering was all wrong, or Shanna wasn't happy with the line delivery. To make matters worse, I had to keep my groin pressed against hers because I didn't have a hard-on and I was supposed to for this scene. Brody! Brody! Cut! Shanna cried out, throwing her hands in the air as she whipped around. What the fuck? I backed up and Kara leaned against the tree. She muttered, Thank God. My back is killing me. I grunted, she and I both. Brody! I turned and I thought I saw Matthew careening over the field toward us. It was dark, but I recognized his voice. He was waving his arms like a madman, and I scowled. I hadn't seen him since I ripped out his hard drive. Finn and Jen were on set that day, and right away Finn started for me. I pointed at him as we fell in step together and headed in Matthew's direction. If he fucks with me today, I swear to God I'll rip him apart. I hadn't eaten all day since Shanna wanted my muscles to be as defined as possible. I was cold from the damn water being thrown on us, and I'd spent hours pressed against a woman I couldn't stand. I wasn't in the mood to deal with Matthew's shit on top of everything else. Excuse me, Shanna went to get in his way, her hands planted on her hips. She had a coat on, unlike, I glanced over my shoulder and saw an assistant wrap a heavy blanket around